Man, ain't it wonderful to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
I don't know if you haven't felt that stirring tonight. Just go ahead and come on to the altar and get right.
Amen.
Get right.
Bless them, Lord.
Huh? Oh, you want me to use that? If Lee Coke didn't destroy it, maybe I won't.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to say this. I preach three times a week. And I always get nervous when I get behind a sacred desk. But I told my congregation Wednesday night, when it comes to standing before these young people, I'd be more unnerved if I went to preach at the White House as I would be standing before these young people.
Amen.
I'm going to be held accountable for the instruction, the direction, the words that comes out of my mouth. I'm going to be held accountable to these young people.
And before you get started,
yes, sir.
He said something about being obedient to the Lord. I got something I want to say to you.
Amen.
You youngins right here,
helping y'all.
Whew! That blesses my heart. Good to see this church right here for all these kids right here.
Amen.
Amen.
I didn't have that luxury to be in here, but it was on my own account right here. I thank that man right there.
Bless you, brother. Bless you, brother.
Again, I thank that man right there. I love that man right there. He led me to the Lord. He tricked me. He led me to the Lord.
Tricked you.
He tricked me. That man right here. He married me and my wife. This lady's sitting right here, and I thank you for it.
Amen.
They said, we worked last 6 months. We've been married 10 years now.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I found the Lord. I'm going to tell you kids something. I just dropped that blood to come off of Jesus when he hung on that cross. It's got your name in it.
Amen.
Everybody had my name in it. I'm telling you what, I've done everything from strip poker to manslaughter and everything in between.
Heaven,
so you're not going to tell me that you done
something that I ain't
done seen. Bless him, God. Stuff and stuff.
Bless him, Lord.
Y'all have
your way, Jesus.
That's
right. Amen, Perry.
The older people that push and talk and advertise to get these kids in here, I pray. Thank you for it right there. I love all you young people.
Amen.
Here's the best thing you could ever have.
Bless him, Lord.
You didn't get that way.
Amen.
You ain't missing out on nothing. She said it right when you said
amen.
She had to miss out on
nothing. Bless him, God.
You're right, honey. You ain't missing nothing right there because I lived every bit of it for all of you.
Amen.
Ain't none of you need to go that route right there. Right here before you need to be and what you need to hear. And this right here is
amen.
So far. God ain't done me wrong.
Bless him, Lord. Bless him, God.
In hell burning right now, gone. No time in hell.
Bless him, Lord.
Hey, a few people in here used to run around with me back in the day. They didn't get us all, did they?
Bless him, God.
They didn't get us all.
Bless him, God.
We're out here in the house of God.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
It ain't going to hurt you. It will make you better, stronger, and a better life, I promise you.
Amen. Amen. Brother, you're fine. Amen.
I love you.
I love you, brother. I love you, Perry. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Bless him.
He said that I tricked him, and I believe whatever method is necessary, as long as it's godly, to get them saved. Amen. If it's go knock on their door and offer a softball or something to get them to get involved. Amen. Amen. I am thankful, so thankful that the Lord has used us in the capacity that He has. Say that these young people, some of them, already knows and some of them don't, but this is my home church. This is where I was raised up at. I as back as far as I can remember, I was so small when we first started coming here. I don't remember exactly what age that it was, but this is my home church. When I come here, it's homecoming. I want you to know tonight that I appreciate the invitation. I really do. I count it a high honor to stand here where your pastor stands every week. I count that a high honor to be able to do that. And I'm so thankful for it. Thankful for the Daughters of Calvary singing tonight. They always sing in the Holy Ghost. I've never heard them that they didn't. And they sing right from the heart. They sing the truth. And I'm so thankful for that. Thankful to see so many already come to the altar tonight. Already obey God. Let me say this at any point in time in this service that, and Larry's done said it, but I just want to reiterate it for the preaching. Any point in time in this service you need to come to this altar and pray, I promise you I can get around you or over you or something. You come to this altar and you pray. Don't you hold back one bit. If you need Jesus, don't wait for an invitation. Don't. Satan will talk to you and he will talk you right slick out of it if you wait till the invitation. I've heard people say, boy, I wish that preacher to us and give the invitation, I'd go to the altar. You shouldn't wait on the preacher to give the invitation. Jesus Christ has already gave the invitation in your heart. So if you need Jesus, you need to pray whatever you stand in need of tonight. My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has it, and He has it for you. So in the Word of God tonight, you have your Bibles. Turn with me over to Amos chapter number 8. I appreciate what Larry said in the opening of the service. He absolutely brought so much confirmation to my message. And I have, just like any other preacher that does over messages and where they go and where they fit in at and where they need to be and all that kind of stuff, I have prayed over this message and sought the Lord in it. And I'll be honest with you, Ramsey, couldn't get away from it. This is exactly what the Lord wanted me to bring here tonight, and I'm so thankful for good confirmation in that. Amos chapter number 8 in your Bibles tonight. I'll say what Perry said. I'm so thankful to see all these young people here and to be in the house of the Lord tonight on a Friday night. A lot of places that you could have been, but you chose to be here. And you older people that sit closer toward the front as if you were young people too, I appreciate you doing that. Amen. Not trying to get on the back row, but coming on up and getting in with the young people. That's awesome and it's wonderful. It is a youth revival, but it is for the adults as well. We can all get something out of the service and all be revived, not just the youth. I want to start reading in Amos chapter number 8, if you found your place there. And verse number 1 is where we'll start reading at. If you feel inclined to stand for the reading of the Word, you can do that tonight. That way maybe you can rest your backside just a minute. And we'll bring that the Lord has laid upon our heart. Amos chapter number 8, verse number 1, thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail. Saying, when will the new moon be? When will the new moon be gone? And we may sell corn, and the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell refuse of the wheat. The Lord hath sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall not the land tremble for this? And every one mourn that dwelleth therein. And it shall rise up wholly as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. And I will turn your feast into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation. And I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins, and baldness upon every head. Some of those in here tonight's already got that, I saw. And I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and end thereof as a bitter day. I want you to listen to me here in verse 11 and 12. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. They that swear by the sin of Samaria and say, Thy God of Dan liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again. Dear Father, tonight we thank You so much for the reading of the Word. We thank You for this good congregation that's assembled together here tonight. We pray that You'd bless every heart, every soul, every life. God, these young people, You know exactly where they stand, what they stand in need of, the business that needs to be done with You, Lord Jesus. Father, we pray the Holy Ghost power of God tonight, Lord, to just be about this whole congregation tonight upon every heart, every soul, every life, God. Lord, that we would seek You, Jesus, in all things. Father, we pray, Lord, that You'd add a blessing to the reading of the Word. Guide and guard my mouth and my lips, Lord, that I'd not say anything that would be contrary to Your Holy Spirit, but speaking and preaching that be the oracles of God. We pray tonight, God, for Your Holy Spirit to lead us, guide us, direct us, God. Lord, that somebody tonight in this service, Lord, would get exactly what they stand in need of. That lost soul that's entered in won't leave here lost tonight. That one that's backslidden, God, won't leave backslidden, God. Father, that those tonight that feel oppressed, depressed, addicted, Lord, whatever the case might be, Lord, You know it tonight. You know their heart. And Lord, I pray conviction upon their soul. Lord, that this night, God, they would get right with You. We love You, Jesus. Thank You, Father, for that You've already done. Blessing the girls to sing like they did, God. The Holy Spirit that we felt moved through this place, God. We thank You, Jesus. Have You will in Your way in each and every heart. For it's in Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Thanking You, God. And the church said, Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. As we were praying and seeking the Lord's guidance in the Scripture, seeking the Lord's guidance in the message, I want to say this tonight. I love to be able to preach. The Bible says, with power and demonstration. I love to, when the Lord allows me to, when the Lord gives me an opportunity to, I'd like to ask my wife tonight if she would assist me in getting a little something together for you. I want to show you something tonight that the Lord has laid upon my heart. I've already asked the good pastor if I would be able to use the table tonight. I'm not going to remove the Bible from the table. I'm just going to slide some of this stuff over to the side here just so that we can just show you a few things. I'll set this right over here. May want to take up offering here after a while, so we won't throw them away. But we definitely want to show you just a little. So it don't matter. Just just put that old good in there in the middle. Put that in over here. There we go. No, in the middle. Yeah. I said that kind of sarcastically. That's all right. Yeah. And Larry, Brother Larry, he's already mentioned the fruit. Amen? And so the world considers us to be a little bit fruity because we're here on a Friday night. Amen? He asked Amos, the Lord said, and He asked Amos, He said, What seest thou? And He said, A basket of summer fruit. And I want us to, in our minds tonight, just to think about what maybe your favorite fruit is, what fruit that you like, in the summertime when all the fruits and the crops come in, which one it is that you like to eat the most, which one it is that you run to the grocery store or the fruit market and you go to seek out to find, and you always try to find that one that's just perfect. Now, some people's bananas, they want them just about green, you know, they don't want any little dots on them. At all. Some people try to seek out that one that's got all the little brown dots on it. That's almost just what you declare rotten. You know, people have different preferences when it comes to their fruit. And so when the apples comes in, some wants yellow and some wants green and some wants red and all kinds of different apples. And so the fruits vary. The grapes vary. The watermelon, some wants the seed, some wants the seedless. I mean, all kinds of different fruits that there are on the market that is available to us. And so now that I've got your mind kind of jogged a little bit on what kind of fruit that it is that you like, I just want you to hold that, if you will, in your mind and in your heart tonight of that kind of fruit or that version of fruit that you like. And He said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, A basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, The end has come upon my people of Israel. And then He goes on down and He talks about some of the things that He's declaring in the end, that the end would be. And we do see some of these things that he talks about over in the book of Revelation. We see some of these talked about from Jesus' words in the New Testament. And as you go down through here, down to verse number 11, as you noticed as I was reading the word, I wanted you to pay close attention to that. He's talking about a day that would come where man would not thirst or have a desire for the bread. It wouldn't be a famine of the bread. It wouldn't be a famine of something to drink or of thirst, but it would be of the Word of God. We need to realize tonight that the fruit has come in. We need to realize tonight that we're living in one of the most fruitful days and fruitful times that we will ever possibly be in. You say, preacher, how do you know that? I know that because I watch the news just like you do. I know that because I see the way the world is going just like you do. And I'm not trying to get over the young people's head tonight. I'm trying to bring them a simple message. A message that they can remember. A message that they can go home and think about tomorrow and next week and the next day and the next day. We're living in a blessed nation today. We're living in a blessed time today. It's a blessing that we can gather together on a Friday night and assemble together just like we are and love on each other and hug on each other and have the singers to sing, and we can shout and we can holler amen, and we can come to the altar and pray, and if we have need to get right with God, we have that opportunity. But friend, let me tell you something tonight. Young people, let me tell you tonight. There's a day coming, honey, when the Spirit of God will strive with man. It'll be cut off. It'll be cut off. Could you just imagine with me for just a minute? And I don't mean to be undignified, but I ain't dignified to start with. I'm going to pull this coat off. Amen. But I want you just to imagine with me just a minute having a year, a summer that came through, and there was no strawberries on the vines. There was nobody's vineyards putting forth any grapes at all. There's no trees that hang full of the apples that we love to eat so good. There was no watermelons in the field. I want you to think about how pitiful that would be. How pitiful that it would be if you go to the grocery store and there's no fruit to be had anywhere. How pitiful it would be if you went to the supermarket or the fruit stand and the fruit stand sign said closed, out of business because there's no more fruit to be had. I want you to think about how pitiful of a time that would be. That's exactly what he began to talk about, is the time where there's no more fruit. Let me say this tonight, church. We better beware of fake fruit tonight, because that's what our world is feeling full of. It's feeling full of a land that is offering something that's so pretty, that's something that looks so good, but yet on the inside, it's as fake as it can be. Amen. As I prayed in this and thought about what God would have to say to these young people, this may be the only time in my life that I ever get to preach to. I've heard preachers say for years, we'll never sit just exactly like this again. That this service is special. This service has a special meaning because we won't all be gathered together exactly like we are again. And I thought on that, and I thought how that there's young people tonight here that I may never the rest of my life get a chance to speak Jesus to them. I may never the rest of my life get a chance to tell them about how good God's been to me. I may never get another chance to tell them what the Word of God says about the day and the time that we're in. And so tonight I want to take advantage of that opportunity that you know tonight that Jesus Christ is the only way. That Jesus Christ is the only satisfaction. That Jesus Christ is the only thing to be addicted to. So many people today has got hung up on all kinds of addictions. All over the nation, all over the country. I see documentaries on TV just like anybody else. I see the documentaries about people that is addicted to prescription drugs, people that's addicted to all kinds of different things across our nation today. Seeing high school football captains went to the prom, took the prom queen to the prom, and was king and queen, and both of them a couple of years later strung out on meth because they thought nothing couldn't get them, because they thought they were above. But I want to tell you something. There was a deceiver somewhere along the way that slipped into their life and began to show them something and began to tell them that there was something that would give them a better time than what they had.
Amen.
And they took it. And they took it. And the next thing you know, you see them and their faces eat up. They're just all worn out. That guy, the one that I saw, I was looking at the guy weighed about 160, 170 pounds in high school. And I bet he didn't weigh 100 pounds on the when they did the documentary. He had lost so much weight. He was pitiful looking. Let me say this tonight. If that's you here tonight, I'm not throwing off on you. I'm not putting you down tonight. I'm telling you, there's a Jesus. Jesus, that'll give you your fruit
back.
And Amos saw a basket of summer fruit, he said. A basket of summer fruit was what the Lord showed him. And so as I looked at fruit in the Bible. Fruit appears in the Bible 184 times. So obviously, the fruit has some significance all the way through it. The fruit is used as illustrations of our Christian life, our Christian walk, our Christian talk, our Christian way. The Bible talks about the fruit that we bear.
Amen.
The fruit that we have as Christians. I searched it out a little bit further and I found out that in 41 books of the 66 books of the Bible, fruit is used in it as some type of illustration. That's a lot of the Bible that covers fruit and talks about fruit. Now, it may not seem important. It may not seem significant to you. But here's what I want to do tonight. How many of you young people like fruit? Just go ahead and raise your hand. Real high like. Don't be shy like. Real high like. Good Lord. All that crowd back there in the back got your hand raised. Why don't you come up here? There's room for you. Come on up here. How you going to get any fruit if you sit back there? A whole bunch of hands over here went up, and then I seen about five right there in the buried back. So obviously all you young people like fruit, at least some type of fruit, pretty good. I'm not much of a pear person myself. I don't like pears. A lot of people does. They like pears and that's fine. I ain't saying nothing against it. But there is certain kinds of fruit that I don't like. And there's certain fruit that I eat a lot of. I eat a lot of bananas, grapes, things like that. But we do have a choice, TJ. We have a choice of the fruit that we choose. The fruit that we want in our life. Not everybody's going to be teachers. Not everybody's going to be preachers. Not everybody, woo, not everybody's going to be singers.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Well, if y'all try to listen to me sing, cut that off. Fast I can tell you real quick. I can't sing. But the Lord knew I had a big mouth and a pretty good set of lungs. He said, I'll use them to preach. There's all kinds of fruit that we can have in our life and use that fruit for the benefit of Jesus Christ if we will.
Amen.
Now, let's just take these girls. These girls right here, y'all like fruit? Yeah. You want to volunteer for me? No? Do you? You will? You will? Come up here. Now listen, you've got three baskets of fruit up here. It's kind of a tray more than a basket, but that's all right. You got three up here that I want you to just go up there and just pick you out one that you like. Strawberry. You like strawberries, do you? All right, you can have that strawberry. You go right over. Now, wait a minute. Are you sure there ain't something wrong with that? What are you doing?
Looking at it.
Why are you looking at it?
Oh, that one's got a spot. Look right there. Oh, you might as well put that back and get you another one.
What about these over here? Something wrong with that? You sure are taking a while. I got to preach here tonight. Are you going to make a decision? Or... Does that look okay?
Yeah.
That doesn't suit you? Do you eat that green part?
No.
You don't? Why don't you?
I don't think it would taste good.
You don't think that green part would taste good?
No.
So what are you going to do to your fruit?
Take it off.
You're going to clean it up, ain't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you can have that and you take that right on back. Somebody else. Come on, come on, you youngins, y'all get into all kinds of things. If I had a bebop station up here with game controllers on it, every one of you'd be up here in a flat minute. Wouldn't you?
Right.
Yeah, amen.
Bless the Lord.
Who's next? Come on, come on, yeah, come on. Come on, yeah, come on, come on.
Every
come on.
Lord.
Now you got three baskets here to choose from. You just pick you out one. You want a grape? All right. Are you sure that's a grape? Are you sure? You know that that's a grape. All right. Does it look good? All right. Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your bite of that grape. Take your bite. Hey, did you get any? Was it good? It wasn't good. What's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? All right, you give me that.
No.
You want one of them?
No.
You don't want one of them? Why don't you want one of them?
Look, that one's hard.
It's hard? Well, why don't you take a bite out of it and see how hard it is? Let me help you. Hey, pull that off her. Okay, there you go. What's wrong with that one?
It's not for real.
It's not for real? Are you kidding me? Let me see that. Are you sure it's not real?
I'm sure.
How do you know it's not real?
Because I felt it.
You felt on it. You tried to eat it, didn't you? Okay, you go eat that grape right there. He says this in here ain't real. You go ahead. We're going to put this ain't real one over here. What is that?
Peach.
A peach. You sure that's a peach?
Yes.
You sure that ain't a lemon?
I'm sure.
How do you know?
Because I know what a peach looks like.
Are you sure you know what a peach looks like? Who told you that's a peach? Your mother and your daddy. Are they here?
No,
they're not here. Oh, I can't hold them accountable then, can I? Oh. But they told you that's a peach. You're sure that's not an apple. You're sure that's not a lemon. You're sure that's not an orange.
Yes,
you know for a fact it's a peach.
Go ahead,
okay, you can have that peach.
Careful,
but don't hold me accountable. If you get an orange out of that, you can have that peach. All right, what are we getting? What you want?
What's your turn?
What do you want?
Strawberry.
A strawberry. You pick it. Huh?
I like strawberry.
Well, I do too. Here you go. You just pick you one out, okay?
It's not hard.
It's not hard? Well, how do you know? Because you're eating it. That's why. Yeah. Is this all right, Pastor? It's okay. Okay. I know I'm flirting with the line. I know. Is that good? Are you? And you're sure that's a strawberry? Is that your favorite fruit? Are you going to eat that green part? You are? Okay, well, you just take that on back there and go eat your green part. Okay, you can have it. All right. Did you want something?
Sure.
Okay, what you want? You want a pear. Whoa. How do you know that's a pear?
It looks like a pear.
Because it looks like a pear. And you're sure if you bite into that, it's going to taste like a pear. And you like pears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you going to clean that before you eat it?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you do that?
Woo!
You don't know where it's been. And in the day and the time that we live in, fruit gets a lot of stuff sprayed on it to
make it live and to make it grow and all that good stuff, right? So that pear would either need to be peeled or it would definitely need to be cleaned real good before you eat it, right? Right? But you're sure it's a pear. Okay. All right. I'm going to take your word for it because I definitely ain't going to help you taste it, okay? All right. You can go sit down. All right. Somebody else.
Help them, Lord.
This is the message. I'm telling you, this is the message.
Yep. Bless them, Lord.
Come right on. Which one would you choose? A banana?
Mm-hmm.
Which banana do you want?
This one.
You want that one. Why do you choose that banana over the other banana?
Because those look bruised.
Where'd y'all come from? Those what?
They look bruised.
Those bananas look bruised?
Mm-hmm.
They look a little worn, don't they? And so you don't feel like that fruit would be as good as that fruit. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're sure that's a banana?
Yes.
All right, you can have your banana.
Amen. Bless
them. Amen. Come right on in here. Which one do you want? You want a grape. Which grape would you like to have? One of these green grapes. All right, you get you a green grape. All right. So we're out of here.
Apple.
You want an apple. You're sure that's an apple? How do you know that? That one over there looks awful good to me. That one over there looks better than that one, does it not? You don't think so? You want that apple. And you're sure that's an apple. All right, go ahead. All right. What was that?
A fly.
That apple had a fly, and you're still going to eat it. You still want it. All right, you can have your apple.
Bless the Lord.
You want a grape? All right, get you a grape. You sure that's the one you want? You sure you don't want a purple grape? Let me ask you a question. When you think about a grape, what color do you think about?
Green.
Green? You think green? You don't think purple when you think about a grape? All right, if you want a green grape, go ahead. You want that other banana? How you know that's a banana?
Bless him, Lord.
What in the world? Why don't you want one of them bananas?
It's rotten.
What? Hold on here a minute. Back up this thing. Are you really accusing me of bringing rotten bananas in the church? I believe you are. You just told me that banana's rotten. How do you know that banana's rotten?
Because it's brown.
Well, you don't think bananas, when they get real good and ripe, that they turn brown? You don't think so? You don't agree with that? So you're going to eat a green banana? What color's that you got in your hand? It's got green on it. Let me ask you. What convinced you that that banana is not as good as that banana?
It's not as green.
It's not as green. Okay. And that banana, you say, is rotten. All right. We're going to hold you accountable for the rotten banana, okay? You can go eat your green banana. You want that lemon. You know that's a lemon.
Yes.
What makes you convinced that that's a lemon?
I just know what a lemon looks like.
You know what a lemon looks like. What color is a lemon?
Yellow.
It's yellow. Mm-hmm. And you're sure that's a lemon. Who told you that's a lemon?
My kindergarten teacher.
Is your kindergarten teacher here?
No.
Somebody else I can't hold accountable. Man. And you're sure that's a lemon?
Yeah.
And you like how that tastes?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, bless your heart. God love you. All right. Go ahead. I finally get some dudes up here. Hallelujah. About time. Just a grape.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want a purple grape.
Nope.
Why don't you want a purple grape?
You like green better than purple.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Strawberry.
A strawberry. Pick you out a strawberry. For some reason, I don't know why it is, but this platter here, or basket here, if you will, is becoming very empty compared to these others. Why is that? Would you like something from one of these other plates?
Sir? No.
You would not?
No.
Why would you not want anything from these other plates?
That one's faking down
all
rotten.
Whoa, 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 whoa. First I'm accused of bringing rotten bananas from that feller. And now you're trying to tell me that no there is fake.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
How do you know that's fake?
Because because it don't look like a real one.
Why don't you try to eat that red apple right there?
No.
Why?
No.
Don't you like apples?
Yeah.
What's wrong with my apple?
It's fake.
How do you know it's fake?
Go, feel it.
You feel it.
Look, it's look right there.
It looks like to me somebody's been trying to eat that. Don't it? Look.
Yeah.
It's got teeth marks in it. And you are convinced that that is fake.
Yes.
You're convinced. And you're convinced that's rotten.
Mm-hmm.
And you're convinced the one that you hand is not fake.
Yes.
How you know it ain't fake?
It feels real.
It feels real.
Bless the Lord.
Do you know Jesus?
Yes.
I know you do. Why do you know Jesus?
Because I know He saved people and I got saved.
How do you know you got saved?
Because I felt it.
Because you felt it.
Amen.
I love you, buddy.
Love you.
You can have your strawberry. So we see. The plate of good fruit got gone in no time. As these children, these are children. These are not mamas that's going to prepare a meal. These are not dads that's bringing in the crop. These plates represent what's real, what's rotten, and what's fake.
Amen.
And our young people today is being offered more and more and more fake stuff in their life. Now, I'm going to say this tonight, and I want you to have good, clear understanding of it. Satan learned a long, long time ago. I ain't giving him no credit, but he's pretty sly. The Bible said he's the most subtle beast of the whole field, of all the earth. He learned a long time ago that rotten wasn't going to get it. That rotten wasn't going to cut it. Why? Because we became wise to what was rotten and what was real. And so what Satan interjected into our life and into our young people and into our society today is something that is absolutely fake. It's painted up pretty on the outside. It looks good on the outside. It looks like it'll really do the trick. But when it comes right down to it, and TJ, you start to bite into it, you get into the middle of it, you find out that what you've got is something that is just as rotten to the core, fake to the core, as it could possibly be. This is obviously a rotten fruit. None of the children wanted anything off of this. This was in no way enticing. Thank you, brother, for telling the truth. That banana's rotten, he said. He could see it, TJ. He could see and identify with the fact that this whole plate of fruit is rotten as it can be. That plate over there, there was only one that picked a grape, and as soon as he picked that grape and stuck it in his mouth, he knew immediately that it was fake. Now, I love him. Where'd he go? Which one was it? Right there. I love you, and I don't want you to take this the wrong way at all. But you got to understand that he picked the fake grape, and he bit into it. How many today is going ahead and biting into that that is fake? How many today is going ahead and picking it off the vine and taking it into their cell and taking it home to their parents and taking it home to their friends and taking it home to their neighbors and taking it to everybody that they know and offering it to them and interjecting it into their life?
Amen.
And it's fake.
Amen.
It's fake as it could be. And then, obviously, the real fruit. It feels right. It feels right. TJ, how are we going to know what feels right if mom and daddy don't teach us what's right? How are we going to know what feels right if we ain't in a good fundamental Bible preaching King James Version church that's telling us the truth of the Word of God so we'll know what's right?
Amen. Amen.
How are we going to know if we're not told what is right? How many of them said, my mama told me? How many, one said, my teacher told me? How many of them is only going off of what somebody else told them is the real thing? You're going to like this, Larry. Matthew chapter number 7, please. I'm going to pick up in 15 where you were at, brother. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by the fruits. You shall know them by their fruits. Fruits belonging to them. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Young people, older people alike, we need to check up where we're at. We need to check up what we're putting out. We need to check up what's coming out of our life. We need to check up what we're showing these young people is the real thing. We need to check up what we're showing these young people is really having church. We need to check up these young people what salvation really is. What being a Christian is really all about. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. By their fruits you shall know them. We know by examination. That's what these children did. When they come up here, they looked over all three of these plates and they picked out that they wanted, that they desired, either because it's their favorite fruit or because it looked good. It looked good to the eyes. They thought it would taste good. And so they picked out that they wanted. And the deception of our world today is to show them something that really looks good. It's to show them something that's really enticing. It's to show them something that they can really be proud of. Something that they can really take into their life. But the unfortunate thing is in the world that we live in today, it's just a solid deception. It's a deception of what trueness really is. It's a deception of what purity really is. It's a deception of what's really all about that'll get us to the kingdom of God. It's a deception because it's fake. There's all kinds of things today that is being thrown out in the world that we live in today that is as fake as it can be, but it looks good on the outside. It sounds pretty good. Hell, it's got a good beat to it. All those things. That comes into our life on social media, all those things that comes into our TV, all those things that are advertised out before us, honey, I'll promise you, they ain't all as good as what they say that they are. They ain't all as good as what they say that they are. TJ, I found something that worked. I found something that was good. I found something that was solid. I found something that would go with me, Ramsey, when I'm all alone and by myself. I found something, Larry, that would bring me out of the alcohol. I found something that would bring me out of the drugs. I found something that would satisfy the soul. I found something, honey, that was real, as real could be, and it was Jesus. I hear of young people sitting, and I ain't trying to make none of you mad. Larry done told you I ain't trying to hurt you. But I hear of young people sitting and playing video games 10, 12 hours a day, and they're making $100,000 a year doing it. 13 years old, 14 years old, 15 years old. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And they sit and play video games all day long. That's what they do. And they get paid. They get paid because our society today, people lodge on to that and they watch other people play the video game to figure out what the tricks and the secrets is to the game so that they'll know when they go play exactly what to do. And our
big media market that we live in today, they will pay these young people to do that. You know why? Because they know other people's, young people's going to log on and they can run their commercials through. We live in a commercialized world. We live in a world of marketing. And I can tell you this, that the marketing genre today is so much stronger in our young people than it is with our older people. A lot of the older people are still on the TV. They're still watching the commercials on the TV. They'll see about 4 or 5 minutes of commercial, watch about 20 minutes worth of show if they get that, and there's some commercials. But with these young people, it is a constant stream of commercialization to try to hook them in to that much more than you realize.
Amen.
I've talked to Aiden and walked up to him and said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm just watching this guy play this video game." I said, "That's the stupidest thing I ever heard all my life. I mean, if I'm going to play the video game, I'm going to play the video game. I ain't going to sit and watch somebody else play. If I went to somebody else's house and I was a kid and they stayed there playing all the time and didn't let me play, I'd tell them as a selfish rascal.
Yeah.
Hey, man,
right.
Won't you quit and let me play a little while?" But watching somebody else play so that you can learn what to do on your game. You say, "Chris, what has that got to do with this message?" It's got to do with it's a plot and a plan of Satan way back from a long time ago. I'm not saying the video game that they're playing is necessarily rotten, but what I'm telling you is there is a way that Satan is using in our market today to come into our young people's lives that you ain't even thought about.
Amen.
And they all sit over here and laugh and shake their head and nod because they all know that I'm telling the truth.
Amen.
They all know that I'm telling the truth. But here's the warning. Here you go. Beware of fake fruit. I'm going to tell you right now, just because it comes on your video game system, just because it comes through on something that somebody else is doing, don't mean that it's good for you. It don't mean that it's the best thing going. It don't mean that it's something that you need to partake of. It don't mean it's something that you need in your life. When they get to the impression, "I don't even know this young man right here. I don't know what he's into or what he ain't into, but I like the suit and the tie that he's got on, so I'll just use him for just a minute. I pray to God that he's a Christian and is ready to go and meet the Lord." And I'll say this right now, that if he began to partake of something fake, you'd see it change his lifestyle.
Amen.
You see, it will come out. There ain't nothing hidden. God can see everything. God knows everything. And so many times, I've been there. I used to be a young person. I thought I had it hid. I thought I had it hidden from my dad. I thought I had it hidden from my mom. I'll tell you what, Preacher Bill will tell on you once in a while. He'll see you somewhere you ain't supposed to be and let your daddy know about it. Amen. Got my backside tore up. I know that. Amen. You say, "Where was you at that you shouldn't be?" I should have been in school and I wasn't. And he seen me and let my daddy know about it. Amen. Do it again. The Bible says, "Be sure your sins will find you out."
Amen.
Young people, this message is catered right for you. The T-shirts, I couldn't have fit any better. I couldn't have fit any better. When all the gaming is gone, when all the playing is done, when it comes right down and it gets real serious between you and God and where you stand in the balance of eternity, it ain't going to matter that mama told me. You can use all excuse you want to.
Amen.
It ain't going to matter that the teacher told me. It ain't going to matter what somebody else said or how somebody else influenced you.
Right,
you're going to be held accountable for your own decision.
Amen.
For your own way, for your own account of exactly how you live before God. I'm telling you tonight, children, you can be filled full of all the fruits that you could possibly want if you'll stick with Jesus.
Amen.
If you'll stay with Jesus.
Amen.
I don't know, maybe there's some here tonight that's never accepted Jesus. I'm going to tell you, if you want the ripest fruit on the vine, just choose Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
If you want the best fruit that there is to be had, just choose Jesus. Right, Ramsey?
Yeah.
Just choose
right.
Jesus, because He's got the ripest fruit of the field that you could possibly ever dream of.
Amen.
These youngins that tickled me, they didn't just grab it and say, oh yeah, that ain't working. But they would get it, even the littlest ones. They got it. Matter of fact, this one right here. Picked this one up, rolled it around, and seen that one little spot. Seen that on investigation, saw that one little spot, and put it back, and got a different one that didn't have a spot. TJ, I used to look like that fruit that's rotten to the core. I used to live like that fruit. I used to be like that fruit. Amen. Rotten to the core. And without Jesus Christ in my life, I'd still be that rotten. If I was even still alive, I'd still be that rotten. But Jesus Christ come to me, Larry, and He offered me the best fruit.
Amen.
Amen. He come to me. He come to me. You hear what I'm saying? He come to me, TJ. I wasn't looking for Him. Matter of fact, to be honest with you, I was running from Him. I would run from people like Bill and people like Butch and others that I knew was carrying the fruit. I would run from them because they would come to me and go around my neck and say, I love you. I care about you. And you need to get in church. You need to get your life right.
Amen.
Amen. They had the fruit. They were carrying the fruit. Chris, don't you like strawberries? Chris, don't you like grapes? Chris, don't you like bananas? Chris, don't you like watermelon? I got some for you. It's in Jesus. It's in Jesus. Amen, brother. It won't cost you a thing. It's free. But for a time, pray a rotten fruit. We talked about this Wednesday night at church. About not feeling worthy. Not feeling worthy of Jesus. Preacher, you don't understand. All I'm worth is that rotten fruit. All I'm worth is that would be thrown out. I don't know where my wife got that at, where she come up with that at. I told her I need a platter of fake fruit, a platter of good fruit, and a platter of rotten fruit, and she come up with it. I surely hope, Todd, she didn't have to pay for that. But in the day and the time, the society we live in, she probably did have to pay money for that. Ain't that sad? Ain't that sad? That we would pay for, we would purchase the rotten fruit over the good fruit. How many today is running after everything in the world that's as rotten as it can be? Jerry, all you got to do is come in here and come to this altar and receive Jesus. And they've got the best fruit on the vine.
Amen.
They've got the best fruit that a man could possibly dream of. And it's absolutely free.
Amen.
It don't cost a thing. Singers, if you would please come. I'd like to give an invitation. There might be somebody tonight that either...